Hello, brothers and sisters. We will begin today's meeting. Just like in the past, the first part of our gathering, let's have an open time of prayer. So we do hope that brothers and sisters can follow the leading of the Holy Spirit to pray a short prayer for this meeting. We truly need the grace of our Lord. And we do hope that the Lord, through this little bit of pursuit, that the Lord can speak to all of our hearts. And now through prayer, let's place this gathering into his hands. This is very important. We do hope that all brothers and sisters who have this time do not quench the moving of the Spirit. Let's have an open time of prayer now. We'll give the time to all brothers and sisters. Lord, how we thank you. We have such an opportunity to come to know you more. May we all have our hearts open to you so that you may gain more of us, so that we may know your goodwill, to know your surpassing greatness of your power. Be with every one of us. Do speak your words to us so that in these end days, may you gain a group of people who love and desire after your appearing. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, we do reverently place this a bit of time into your hand. Lord, through our brother, do speak to our hearts. Do open up the eyes of our hearts so that we may come to truly know you. May our knowledge of you may not remain in our head as knowledge, but as our experience. Lord, in this age, do gain us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Dear Lord Jesus, as we are in this time of difficulty, how we need you, we thank you. You give us an opportunity that we can gather together. Lord, we need your true leading that we may come to meet you. We do place this time into your hands. Be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, Lord, as we come before you, we worship you. We acknowledge that this is truly a blessed ground as we come before your feet. It is because of what you have accomplished for us on the cross. Lord, through your resurrection, because you have ascended to the heavenlies, and so you have become the head over all things in the church. So now we can gather in your presence. Lord, we do pray that your Spirit would do that work of enlightenment in us, so that we may have true knowledge of you. We reverently place the following time into your hands through every sharing and every word that is spoken. May you rule and reign. Lord, may you do that true and eternal, lasting work in us. Lord, we give you all the worship, praises, adoration to you until forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, Lord, throughout the ages, through your own words and through the work of the Holy Spirit, you have led us in your will. Lord, through such a gathering, Lord, not only in your words have you allowed us to learn, but also through the leading of the Holy Spirit, individually and corporately, we can learn this lesson. Lord, at the very end, we see that only God, according to the Lamb, according to that which you have redeemed, can last until eternity. All the lusts of this world will pass away, but those who live according to your will last forever. So for all brothers and sisters, as bring us into the depths of your will, so that in the end days, may you yourself allow us to be faithful to your word and to the leading of your spirit. Greatly bless our gathering. May your will and your heart be here among us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Lord, we thank you for your grace that you gather all the saints to gather in your presence. Lord, as your children, as we have a discussion, Lord, you do bend your ear to hear. Lord, we do pray that you would grab a hold of this time, that using this time in your presence, may it count before you. Lord, may all that we see today oftentimes causes us to be discouraged. But Lord, we know that that which we see is but temporary. The unseen is eternal. So here, as we have fellowship and pursue together, may we touch that which is unseen, so that we can touch that which is eternal. Once we touch that which is eternal, and then when we take a look at this world, and then when we look at our service, Lord, then we will know how to live. Lord, according and with such a meeting and grace, Lord, we thank you for all that you have given to us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Yes, Lord, we thank you. You have such abundant grace. We thank you that you give us time and an opportunity, that with such great grace, you give us one heart to desire and to pursue after your will for the sake of Zion and for your own sake. This one is here. That one is also here as we pursue here and there with all brothers and sisters, because we love and desire after your will at this special time and circumstance and pursuit. Lord, may we receive special grace. We place our hearts and all brothers and sisters into your hands. Do guide and direct all brothers and sisters so that you may gain them. As you enlighten your own testimony so that we move forward, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you have loved us with your eternal love, so you attract our hearts. Lord, we thank you because your anointing oil is fragrant and your name is like ointment poured forth. Because you attract us, Lord, may we run quickly after you. We say that your love is sweeter than wine. How can we praise your love more than wine? Lord, we want to praise you. You have not forsaken us. Because you have loved us with your everlasting love, you want to recover us, recover our first love for you. We praise you. And in your presence, Lord, do attract us. So then who would not run after you? Lord, we praise you. We worship you, give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, Lord, we do pray that you would open up our eyes so that not only we know your will, but we would know your way. Lord, we want to know your way. We want to place ourselves into your own work. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you that again you have gathered us in your presence. Lord, it is so precious that we have this time. And in this time, we are able to meet you. We can hear your word. And so, Lord, we do pray that you would teach and help enlighten every brother and sister's eyes so that we may know the hope of our calling, that our hope would be like the saints at Ephesus, that we may be faithful servants. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, we do thank you with all our hearts. Again, you give us an opportunity to gather in your presence. So today, in this age of great darkness and all the things that surround us is great evil, how we need an open heaven. Lord, we do ask that you would give us grace. Today, may you gather all of us into your presence so that this little bit of pursuit, may it attain to more of your wisdom and grace so that we would be clear in understanding your will, so that we can see clearly where is your way. In these short amount of time, help us so that we can faithfully follow you. We know that your kingdom will come quickly, dear Lord. We so desire that on that day, all of us may enter into your kingdom and welcome you. We know that your work has come to the very end, but at the same time, you need vessels to accomplish your work. And so we say to you, Lord, we are here. Lord, we are here. Please lift up your face upon us. Shine your light upon us from the light of your face in these days of darkness. Encourage our spirits and hearts so that we would have a deeper love towards you. We reverently place this meeting into your gracious hand. For brothers and sisters, no matter where we are, that all of us, we would deeply sense your abundant presence. We thank you. Here, please do the work that you desire to do. May you gain the vessels you desire to gain. We reverently give you all the worship and praise and adoration to you. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. We will ask brothers and sisters, if you are attending, please do turn on your camera because we are in a meeting. And we hope to be able to meet one another, even though it is in such a fashion. But to be able to see brothers and sisters is still very good. We do thank the Lord that in his presence we have such a gathering. And as we begin, I do still want to remind brothers and sisters, from the beginning of last year, and that actually it's this year, we reminded brothers and sisters that this time, the main purpose is so that we could learn and imitate Paul. Paul in Philippians tells us that he hopes that the Lord will gain him. And the main purpose of this pursuit is that we want the Lord to gain more of me. We don't need to worry about anything else. These days pass by so fast. We're already in October. How much has the Lord gained of us? Have we changed at all? Has the Lord gained more of us than before? We know that the Lord, his heart is desperate and urgent, feels urgent, because he wants to gain useful vessels. Today, this last amount of work that God needs to do, he has kept us here on earth. We have this great privilege that we have a portion in the conclusion work of God. Throughout all the ages and generations of the past, all the saints have desired to have such an opportunity. Today, we have such an opportunity. This is God's great mercy. So don't look lightly upon the pursuit that we have before the Lord. Don't look lightly on your individual condition before him. And in such a gathering, we hope brothers and sisters can have this reminder that on that day, that all brothers and sisters, we would rejoice when we see our Lord. Grab a hold of this opportunity that we have. so that we may have a good condition and please our Lord. Now, we have said before that in such a pursuit, we have four different lines that we are pursuing after that we need to all pay attention to. Every time as we begin, I need to remind everyone again and again, because sometimes after some time passes, we become confused or we forget. So that is why I remind these four lines. First, we need to develop good spiritual habits. We've talked before that good spiritual habits are very important, because in our redemption, this has great influence on us. Simply put, we have spoken a lot before in the past, so I just want to simply remind everyone that first, we need to watch over ourselves. Don't worry about how others are. That person, how they are doing, don't worry about it. Worry only about yourself. Secondly, we need to also care and be concerned about how his gathering is. God has his gatherings everywhere. We don't want to meet carelessly. He pays great attention to the Christian gathering. So our gatherings need to be according to his will. Watch over and care about our habits in the church. We hope that we will not have bad habits, but we would correct those bad habits and have good habits as we gather together. I have shared before that if you are in a good gathering, that gathering is very comfortable. It allows you to feel full of grace, full of anointing. I've said in the past, many brothers and sisters, after the meeting, they would come and with great joy tell me, "Brother Sun, I have eaten to the full. I feel so good." Whether meeting has been good or bad has to do with the habits of that gathering. Let's pay attention to that. The second main point or second line is that we need to be very familiar with scripture. So that is why we are encouraging brothers and sisters to memorize. Many brothers and sisters have already memorized the entire book of Colossians. And right now, currently, we are memorizing the book of Ephesians. So I hope, brothers and sisters, that on this aspect, we may be very diligent in pursuing. Now, we encourage young brothers and sisters below the age of 50 that you must memorize. Above age 50, we're not going to force you. And of course, there are those who are memorizing. Like my sister, she's 70. She's memorizing. I thank the Lord. I encourage brothers and sisters, if you can memorize God's words, the more you are in being familiar with it and accurate with it, the better. Actually, older brothers and sisters, if you cannot memorize, you need to read it many times over and over. As we're focusing on Colossians and Ephesians, read them several times, many times, until you're very familiar with it. Even if you can memorize it, that's good. Now, other than just memorizing it, I do need to remind brothers and sisters, you need to meditate on it. God's words, you need to meditate on it. Meditate on it over and over. Repeat it as soon as you have an opportunity. Once you've memorized it, as soon as you have a chance, meditate on it. Repeat it over and over in your own thoughts. And then, if possible, do some work of searching, of studying, just like Ezra. He studied God's word. If you can read it to a point where it's more accurate in your mind, we know that in the Greek, and from the Hebrew to the Greek, and now translated into many different languages, yes, in the middle, there may be some slight differences. So young brothers and sisters, if you can understand English, it's very convenient. There are many concordances and books where you can read a more accurate understanding of those words. This is just a little bit of background so that you can understand God's words better. This will be of help to us. The third line is that we need to obey the teaching of the anointing. Follow the anointing. These years that have passed, I have this very heavy feeling within me that this matter of obedience towards anointing Not only has it been a truth that has been neglected, but also a truth that has been lost. Brothers and sisters, saints do not know how to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. So the majority of us, we just follow the outward activity. We follow the activities of the church as we pursue together. Actually, this is very important. God has sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. This leading is very, very important. And so today in the church, this is a truth that needs to be recovered. It's a foundational truth. It's a basic truth. I will never forget when I was young as a child, our brothers have taught us in this way. This help was great. And today I see that for many years, many months, we have fellowshiped on this. But forgive me for saying that many brothers and sisters in their fellowship, they haven't fully touched this aspect or the main point of this truth. Now, everyone has spiritual experiences. It's very good. But I need to say that this teaching of the anointing actually is the heavenly leading. How is the Lord leading us today? He's leading us in the Spirit. And so this teaching of the anointing comes from the Lord. It is not from man. We say very clearly, this is not the teaching of man. This is because you have directly received this leading from him. This is the true heavenly leading. Now we know we are a kingdom of heavenly priests, heavenly people. We are not led by the things on earth. We need to be guided by heaven. We are a group of people who are governed by heaven. How he governs and teaches and leads us is in the teaching of the anointing. In this teaching of the anointing, it's in our daily life. It is not under special circumstances that we experience it, but in our daily matters, how you think, how you speak, how you act, it is all beneath the anointing. And so, brothers and sisters, I hope that all of us in these aspects later, as we have some opportunity, if you had some good experiences, do not withhold them, take them out so that we may have mutual encouragement. So that in our daily lives, if you have had good experiences, take them out and share them with everyone, even in the aspect of service, not just in our daily life. But if you know how to obey the teaching of the anointing, then you will know how to serve and you will know how to have accurate service. All that is not within the leading of the anointing in our services, then we have said before, that is not called spiritual service. All that is not within the leading of the anointing, it is not called spiritual life. This is very important. And so these days, brothers and sisters, you have heard many messages. All of it has been the focus on spiritual reality, right? Please remember, without the life of an anointing, without the leading of the Holy Spirit, you do not have reality. Even if you hear more knowledge, you have read deep books of spiritual revelation, you cannot have reality. Only the Spirit of truth can bring you into reality. The Lord said this very clearly. So please remember, memorize it, keep it in your heart. I have said with brothers and sisters many times, it has been many years, we have heard many messages. So many elderly brothers have shown us the light and the revelation and truth of Scripture, but we have great regret in our heart because we do not have much reality in our gatherings. We do not have much truth among us. Why do we not have reality? It is not because you do not know, but you have not obeyed and followed the teaching of the anointing. That is why you do not have practical reality. Many brothers and sisters, in our service, we want to have reality. We talk about some things, but even those things are not spiritual reality either. Brothers and sisters, when I talk about this, it is because it is from God's perspective, not from man's perspective. You can think it's very practical and real, but to God, it is not at all. Many of us, we pursue after these things, though. It is a great regret. So thirdly, we need to follow and obey the anointing. This is my reminder that in our daily lives, we need to closely follow the teaching of the anointing within us. The fourth point, the fourth thing is that we have taken some of the experiences from before throughout history. Many brothers and sisters and servants of God have left behind very precious messages, their experiences. These things, yes, God also allows us to pay attention to it. Just like the characters in the Old Testament, from the Old Testament through the New, there's so many characters. God uses them to speak to us. They are also our models, our examples. So in our sharing, oftentimes we talk about this person or that person, and from their lives, we see many precious experiences. We take the spiritual principles from what they have learned. And this is also very important. So we say that if brothers and sisters have received some experiences from brothers and sisters before us, or some spiritual recordings, biographies, or autobiographies, yes, in this gathering, we can share with one another and introduce it to everyone. And then we can have a broader perspective in our pursuit. But here, I do want to remind brothers and sisters that as we are paying attention to these people, these saints who have gone before us, there are three things that we must hold of. First, this has to do with the nature, the quality of their nature, and then their way. What was the way that they walked upon? And then how did they express their gifts in their ministry? I hope brothers and sisters can remember with these three English words. First, pay attention to their walk, and then pay attention to their way, and then pay attention to their work. These three W words, three W's, it's easy to remember. In the Bible, we have to pay attention to your walk, how you walk and behave and live and act. Pay attention to how a person behaves and walks in their daily life. If their condition of their walk has problems, even though they speak very well, we are very reserved in copying them. Of course, we know man has weakness. In the past, Old Testament through New Testament, there's no one complete, absolute person. They all have weaknesses. But as we see them fail, what was their attitude? Like David, his failure was great, but his repentance was also great. And so, brothers and sisters, today, if a person's walk, their manner of living, the quality of their walk or of their character and nature, we need to be very, very careful about it. Of course, in the past, our brothers have also said, God can use anyone to speak to us. God can even use a donkey to speak to us, but we cannot follow a donkey, right? So today we need the Lord's grace. We need to pay attention to a person's walk and quality of who they are, and then their way. This aspect, in all of our testimony and service, you can say, this is something that's a matter of life and death. If your way is wrong, then let's not talk about it at all, because you cannot attain to your goal. You have walked the wrong way. Let's take a look at a person's way. And thirdly, the work of a person, their gifts and their expression, all the things that have come from them. So these are things that you can look at to study. When you look at other people's experiences, these are three aspects. In English, it's easier for you to remember their walk, their way, and their work. Okay, so I have repeated up to here. And today, as we begin, let's memorize Ephesians chapter 1 together. So we'll ask all brothers and sisters together, please all open up to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to ask our brothers and sisters in Minneapolis, the young folks there, to lead us in reciting it. I'm sorry, are there any elderly there in Minneapolis? If there are, we thank the Lord. We'll ask our brothers and sisters in Minneapolis to lead us there. And we know that many brothers and sisters have already memorized it. If you have at your home or at your meeting place, please do keep your microphone on mute and let's memorize together. If you have not memorized, just follow along as you read your Bible and listen and read along together. Okay, we'll give our time now to Brother Andrew. Now, the following time is a time of sharing and fellowship. I do, as we begin, as Sister Monica in Westminster, she has a little bit of burden because last time we have already introduced to share about the Spirit of Christ, this book. This is a very good book. And our sister very diligently began to read it. Perhaps they have received some and learned and experienced some, and so she'd like to have some fellowship with us now. So we ask our sister Monica to have some fellowship with us. Thank you, brother son, and thank you, everyone. I want to share about how these in this last month, several of us have read this book, Spirit of Christ. There's four things, and last time our brother had talked about the Spirit of Christ, and it's a very good book, and I have heard about it before, but in the past I've only read half of it, but I never finished reading it. So after Brother Sam mentioned it, his spirit did move me, since our brother had mentioned it several times, that if there's this opportunity, that if I could read it together with some saints, then I could gain more from it. So I sent an email to see if there's anyone else who have the moving who would like to read it. And so several of us, through WeChat, that we would read this book together. And the Holy Spirit has led us in how we are to read together. And just as Brother Sun has said, this has become a good habit. We would read twice each week because some of us are bilingual. Some read in Chinese, some read in English, and then we would read it together in different languages. And then after we read it in this WeChat group, we would have some fellowship. Now, we have this digital copy, but now in the Spirit of Christ, in English, we have several versions. Now, this particular version that we have is the most complete one. And in our digital format, at the end, it does not have the summary at each chapter, but this particular one that I'm holding up, if you see it, it is more complete. Now, because it is older, you cannot buy this. You would have to go to old bookstores to look for it. But this is a little bit of my sharing now. As we begin, when those that read in English, we've realized that the English one, this one that has been printed out, that had been published from Taiwan, is the same Chinese translation as the digital copy. But the terms seem to be a little older. And some of the translation doesn't seem as accurate. And so some have felt that they wanted to do a little bit of translation work. We wanted to know what this means. We wanted to spend some time to talk about this translation. We had that type of discussion, but gradually the Spirit reminded us that through the leading of our brother and his fellowship with us, that we shouldn't just talk about merely the language, but before the Lord, we need to see how the Holy Spirit is teaching us through this book. What is he doing in us? And so we had some pursuit and realized that the Holy Spirit, among many of us sisters, we dropped that project of trying to change the translation. And we started again to learn to follow the leading of the Spirit. That through this book, what is he reminding us in? And what are the things that we are learning in our daily lives? What are the things we needed to be corrected in? After we had this correction and the Holy Spirit corrected us in such a way, gradually, we learned how to grab a hold of the main point. And this was the second thing. We were corrected by the Holy Spirit. Now, thirdly, at the beginning of October, there was NECC conference. Brother Dana Condon, he had some fellowship. And in his message, was very much related to the content of the chapters that we were just reading, but he was able to express it. And so after going through this, we felt that not only was the Holy Spirit doing a work in us individually, but among the body, in the saints, this message was the same. And this provision was wonderful. This was an experience in reading the book. And my last point, that as we began to read this book, at first we had a lot of questions. What is the indwelling Spirit? What is the outpouring of the Spirit? What are all these things? We had a lot of questions, but gradually as we began to read more, indeed we felt it had a deep work in us. Not only did it shine into us, after we read it, sometimes I felt that I really had nothing to say. It was such a strong light into us. It brought light into our ignorance, into our misconceptions. Some of the things, the common things that we see in the church today, that we now are able to see clearly. For example, oftentimes when we speak of the Spirit, we only talk about the outward manifestation, the miracles. Oftentimes our pursuit also are the outward things. But in inward following of the Holy Spirit, we also go to the extreme where we only pay attention to the inward life. And then as we continued on in reading, it also talked about how even if we are to know the indwelling Spirit, oftentimes it only stays in our head knowledge. We haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to enter into us, to work in us. And in our daily lives, it hasn't really been lived out. And so gradually, we felt that this book really has been of great help to us. Not only in its enlightenment for us, but among the brothers and sisters in our fellowship, after learning together and practicing together through the leading of the Holy Spirit in our scripture reading, in service, in our daily life, we all are learning how to apply the leading of the Holy Spirit. And additionally, in this last month, we have found that after we are enlightened, after we've been corrected, after we've been comforted, all of this work of the Holy Spirit, we found that outwardly, the Holy Spirit would use our outward environment to experience the work of the cross. These things all match together. Yes, there's different brothers and sisters because our family lives are different, our health, our services, we experience different problems, different challenges. But in this last month, in reading this book, inwardly and outwardly, all of these things, we have had much abundant results. And we thank the Lord. We thank our sister for her sharing. There are some principles that I'd also like to remind brothers and sisters of. First, we need to hold fast. Any person's message throughout history, any book that a person has written cannot replace the scripture. We need to hold fast to this. Secondly, we need to discern names. This time, in this fourth aspect, I do want to introduce some brothers' books, but we know that not one person's book is complete and perfect like scripture. And so within me, I do have a bit of a conflict. I feel that among some brothers and sisters, that God has used many vessels in the past to speak to us. But we know that the church has been influenced sometimes so that there are some deviations or some things that are a bit extreme. Sometimes it comes from reading some of these books and messages. And so John, in his latter years, tell us that we need to have a spirit of discernment. On one hand, we read. On the other hand, we need to match things with God's word so that we can be corrected from his word. Because for myself, in these many decades, I have also come across many other good spiritual books. I do not read as many or as thoroughly as other brothers and sisters because I read very slowly. But the Lord often reminds me that from within us, we need to have spiritual discernment and a standard. I do think it's very good brothers and sisters can read together, that everyone together we read. And so don't read to such a point where you feel that apart from this person's light, then there's nothing else. No, brothers and sisters, this is just a simple reminder. Yes, this is a very good book. You can receive much from it, much light from it, and many things that we ourselves cannot gain. But at the same time, you need to have discernment. I do hope other brothers and sisters can read. When you read to a certain thing and you have questions, you can also mention it. And together before the Lord, we can pursue together. And so we see in church history, even some of the greatest spiritual movement, like the Brethren movement, in the years afterwards, it had brought about some errors, which also had a significant impact on God's children. And so in regards to taking other people's experience, I do hope that you can be very cautious. Have a love to pursue, yes. I'm not here to criticize anybody. Sometimes our own conditions cannot even attain to them. But from within us, we need to be cautious and have spiritual discernment. So I hope, brothers and sisters, you can hold fast to these principles. And I hope that, yes, in the past, we've already read Sister Jessie Penn Lewis's book. We watched Brother Watchman Nee's books and also Brother T. Austin Sparks. And yes, these books have indeed given us a lot of blessing and help. But from within, but we need to have discernment. And so as we continue on, I know that there are some brothers and sisters who read a lot of books among us. You can also share with us your experiences. Okay, so now we'll just move on from this point. We're not going to talk about this too much more today. But now I do have a little bit of time. I hope that I can hear some brothers and sisters in these past days, how you have followed the teaching of the anointing, some experiences that you may have had. I do want to leave a little bit of time. I open it up to all brothers and sisters to feel free, between 3 to 5 minutes, please. Just share very simply the main point of your experience. You don't have to give us much context to pull it out so that it's too much, but just give us the main point. I do want to leave a little bit of time for brothers and sisters. Are there anyone? Brother Sun, I'd like to share. This was an experience of failure. This is Sister Wu from Seattle. This happened about 1 month ago. Recently, I've been reading Brother Watchman Nee's Love Not the World, and it has greatly helped us. I read it before, but some things I did not understand in the past, but recently it has helped me a lot. There was an older sister, about 15 years older than me. She did tell me some of these things that have happened in society. And some brothers and sisters shared with us and told me about some things that were occurring. And so I shared with her. I wanted to share this book with her, To Love Not the World. I said, this book, according to all the things that have happened, it can renew our mind and perspective. Just very simply, I just wanted to recommend this book to her, and that was it. But I added this phrase because previously, about three churches before, the responsible brothers and sisters at that church, when they were leading us, did not want to recommend Brother Watchman Nee's books because they said, at that time, they said Brother Nee had been imprisoned. And because of his personal background and history, they did not recommend Brother Watchman Nee's books to read at that time. And so when I recommended this book to the responsible sister, I hesitated a bit because I didn't know if she had any bias towards Brother Watchman Nee. And so I added this phrase. But when I wanted to type out this word, the spirit says, you don't have to say that. I stopped about 2 to 3 seconds, but I still typed it. I did not obey the spirit. And after I typed these words, I said, ignoring Brother Watchman Nee's personal history, then this book, et cetera, et cetera. And then after I sent that text, the Holy Spirit rebuked me and said, actually, there was no issue regarding Brother Nee's personal history. You just didn't want to have any disagreement with this older sister because you wanted to protect yourself. That is why you said it. And so immediately in prayer, I repented before the Lord. And very quickly, the sister replied and said, oh, I really like to read Brother Watchman Nee's books. When I was young, when I first believed in the Lord, the brothers who led me really recommended Brother Watchman Nee's books. And so when I read this response, I realized I really had no reason to type the words that I did, and I did not obey the spirit. So this is my sharing, my failure. Brother Sun says, thank the Lord. Yes, in every aspect, we need to follow the leading of the spirit. This is very important. Are there any other experiences from brothers and sisters? Actually, everyone here, we are all Chinese. It's very difficult for us to open up our mouths. We prefer to remain in silence. If this was an American gathering of Caucasian brothers and sisters, everybody is fighting to speak. So I encourage brothers and sisters, if you really have an experience, don't push it down because this is a pursuit meeting. It's for the sake of mutually encouraging one another. I'm a sister at DC. at CCR. I'd like to share some of my experience of following and obeying the teaching of the anointing. About 2 years ago, I've obeyed and serve an elderly saint in, there's an elderly person who's about 100 years old. The environment that the Lord has given to me is very difficult. Yes, I'm weak often, but when the anointing comes to teach me, I submit. This week, particularly there's this elderly person, the house is very dirty, and the son is not here and is in California. So this elderly person is very difficult because it's very dirty. And we realized that there were so many bugs in this house. It was terrible. So I told the son that I must leave because this house is terrible. It's almost 2 years. It has greatly harmed my health. I cannot do this anymore. But the son fought back. And so in my heart, I feel great sorrow. And what should I do? And no one else can take care of this old person. And after knowing this older person, yes, they are Christians. They have been baptized. They are brother and sister in the Lord. So I said, Lord, I know you have called me to come. I need to obey. But how can I do it in such circumstances? In these two nights, it has been great sorrow to me, and I could not rest because the environment is too difficult for me. And so last night I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord says, is there anything impossible for me? Didn't you want to obey and to follow me? And so quickly I obeyed and submitted and said, okay, Lord, because I must leave. 2 weeks ago, I wanted to leave because I was in great confusion and had no peace. But that when I completely submitted, quickly I had peace. And so even though I've believed in the Lord only about 6 years or so, but according to God's help, I'm learning to submit and obey. Every time I obey, he brings me peace and joy. Thank you, everyone. Let's have one more sharing. One more brother or sister. Our brother says, I'd like to share very quickly. I am in new work. Recently, I really thank the Lord, just as Brother Sun had mentioned, in being familiar with God's word, as we memorize his word. Then the Holy Spirit, through his word, can do work in us. Once we're familiar with his word, it will be of great help to us. For example, recently we've been reading the book of Psalms, whether it's about history and about God's laws, if you meditate on it day and night, you will be blessed. And then in book of Colossians, our brother also have encouraged us to memorize the whole book. Recently, my work has been very busy and we have a very large project. And sometimes when I want to complain about it, very quickly, the book of Colossians, what we have memorized, Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, it says, as slaves, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service, as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord, rather than for men. Now, as soon as this word came in, the work of the Holy Spirit was great. And so in all of my random things that I have to do in this project, when it comes to me, I have to take care of lots of other things. It takes away all of my work. Words of complaint, and I do my work with joy. I thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. This is a very good experience. So, brothers and sisters, Perhaps from within you, you do have words you'd like to share, you have experiences, but because of time, I cannot allow everyone to share. And so if you have some good experiences next time when you have an opportunity, please be prepared so that even in this gathering, if you do not have an opportunity to share your experience at your local gathering, perhaps you will also have an opportunity there to share with brothers and sisters. I hope that this will become something very prevalent, that everyone together, we may rise up, that in all locations, brothers and sisters will mutually encourage one another, that we can recover this truth. Because I find that today, if from the very basic, from the most foundational, important truth that we begin from here, then I feel that we do not have much hope in being the Lord's testimony. So we do hope, brothers and sisters, that the Lord would give us grace. You would have good experiences and share this to have mutual encouragement between the saints so that the church together, that all can see that the work of the Spirit is more and more prevalent and common, that all of us would follow the teaching of the anointing. This will be a great blessing to brothers and sisters, and also a great blessing to brothers and sisters. So please, brothers and sisters, in all of your locality, that you would pay attention and focus on this. Sometimes I feel that perhaps, now I am a very loud voice here, but oftentimes when we go back home, everything becomes very shallow and everything becomes very common. And so then our pursuit will also be in vain. So may he show us grace. Now within me, I have a great urgency within me that the Lord's return is so near. Time is so very, very critical. So may he show us mercy. Let's also pray that his Spirit will clearly do his work in us. Now, regarding this, we will just share up to here. Now, let's turn back to the book of Colossians. Now, because I've already told brothers and sisters that Colossians and Ephesians, these two books, they particularly speak of the mystery of our Lord. We know that, of course, the entire Bible talks about the mystery of God, but these two books, in all of the mystery, it talks about it in its focal point. The content of it has to do with God's eternal purpose. And so they are two very, very important books. And so this time, from the focal points we can enter in, then all of the rest of Scripture gradually will be opened up to us. This is something that the brothers in the past, they have experienced. And so we hope that in these aspects, that we would have a good pursuit in it. Now for myself, now, my experiences are very limited as well, but according to what I can understand, I do want to share with brothers and sisters. I hope that this would stir you up so that you would have a desire for these things, so that you yourself would also pursue. Perhaps the things that I say will not be able to reach such a high level, but I do hope this can bring an inward urgency for you, so that for Colossians and Ephesians, that you may understand more clearly the main things that you need to understand. So now let's open up the book of Colossians. Let's read a few verses. Let's first read Colossians 2:1-2, Chinese and English. Colossians 2, 1 and 2, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and for those who are at Laodicea and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself. Now, some brothers and sisters, if you pay attention to the original or in English, verse 2, particularly, it says, the knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself. This epignosis has to do with Ephesians 1, this true knowledge. This is a knowledge of revelation of God's mystery, that is Christ himself. In Darby, he does not mention that is Christ himself. He says true knowledge of God's mystery. But in English, many say it is Christ himself. And so some Bible translations say God's mystery or the mystery of the Father or the mystery of Christ. And some say God's mystery, namely Christ himself. And so in this verse, behind it, there's some translations. According to the translator, according to what they have understood and what they have added on has been very accurate. Yes, indeed, all of Colossians is speaking about Christ, is about the mystery of Christ. And so I do want to mention this. And now let's take a look at chapter 4. Chapter 4. Verse 2 through 4. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Paul tells us here that in the first century, of course it was this way for him, but he uses us or some brothers like him. They all speak forth the mystery of Christ. Here he uses this word, we may speak forth. We need to remember this phrase today. We see that Paul in his letters, when he speaks of Christ, when he speaks of the church, when he speaks of the of church life, when he speaks of the individual Christian life and morals and the quality of our life and our walk, we need to remember something, that Paul, when he speaks of all these matters, he's talking about the mystery. I hope, brothers and sisters, you can remember this. Why? Because today, after 2,000 some years of church history, many people, when they talk about daily life, they only talk about the outward morals. They talk about human relationships. They only talk about how people can get along with one another. Or some people, they talk about biblical background or biblical logic or reasoning, but they haven't talked about the mystery, not for Paul. As we continue on, we will go into detail about this. Now, Paul, when he talks about the individual quality of our walk, it comes out of this mystery. Paul, when he talks about family life, about spousal relationships, it comes from this mystery. When he talks about the service of the body, it comes from this mystery. Brothers and sisters, I don't know whether or not you can understand what I'm trying to say. I have said before, brothers and sisters, you have heard many messages from other brothers. Some people, when they stand on the pulpit, you have this sense, he knows truly what he's talking about. Brothers and sisters, what does this mean? It's because behind him, he knows the mystery of God. When he talks about this matter, it's not that you've just heard the outward For Paul, it's not just the outward surface, but he's talking about the mystery. And so Paul, when he shares the gospel, when he evangelizes, when he teaches the saints, when he himself says he's talking about the mystery, he's saying that all of these different things behind it has to do with the leading of the mystery. This is a great difference. I can say this, a difference between heaven and earth. I have heard some people say, they talk about individual Christian habits and church life and parent-children relationship. And it's just these matters, but it doesn't have anything to do with the mystery. And so oftentimes in our messages, forgive me, I'm not criticizing anyone here. Please have discernment. Some people, when they're talking about those things, you can sense that he doesn't know exactly what he's talking about. May the Lord have mercy on us. When you talk about that matter, you need to know what you're talking about. Paul knew. Paul said, pray for me. Because we do need to be honest. We need to be humble because I'm talking about the mystery. This is a great difference. So brothers and sisters, previously, when brothers and sisters, when we're talking about human experiences, the second aspect of other people's recording, we need to pay attention to their way. Some people, when they preach, they're talking about this way. They're talking about the word of the way. Some people's way has nothing to do with the word. Can you discern the difference? It's very important. So today, here, when we talk about our testimony, in our spiritual service, whether or not it has true spiritual value, this is a very important test for us. And so Paul, he's not preaching the word, he's talking about the mystery. We thank the Lord. At that time, he had some co-workers, some brothers who are also preaching the mystery. And so in this universe, God has a great mystery. Of course, in the book of Colossians, it tells us very clearly, this mystery is Christ himself. This is the greatest mystery of God. When we speak of Christ, then we are preaching the mystery of God. There is a direct relationship between this. And later on, we will go into greater detail about this. Now, in Colossians chapter 2, it is very special here. You will see inside Colossians 2, there are many more on the more negative aspects, reminders. What is he reminding us? He's reminding us about the work of the enemy. Now today, what is the work of the enemy? Now generally, people who read scripture tell us that there are many heresies that appeared in Colossae. Many great heresies came out of Colossae, which really surprises us because Colossae is a very small place. There was not a large population, but at that time, there were many, many heresies. So generally, those who read the scripture tells us, Colossians chapter 2 tells us of many heresies, but we do know all of this is the work of the enemy. Now, what is the work of the enemy? Today, from this perspective of the mystery, the work of the enemy is to pull the mystery of God to just a very shallow condition. So brothers and sisters, be very careful. Today, all of Christianity is like that. Why do so many children of God look lightly upon spiritual things, look lightly upon the things of God? That to believe in God is merely just one aspect of our daily life, including going to worship. It is a service. This is the attack of the enemy. This is his work because he wants to take God's mysterious work and pull it to a very commonplace, a very shallow, surfacey thing. So the majority of the children of God today pay attention to the very shallow, outward aspect. This is the work of the enemy. So today, from Colossians, first, I need to first talk about the handiwork of the enemy. This is something that you can find from Scripture. There are several things that are important reminders for us. Now, what is the work of the enemy? The first work of the enemy is blinding. He wants to blind us. Now, the Bible tells us that Satan causes man to be blind. Many children of God have been deceived in such a way. Paul in Romans, in chapter 10, tells us that the Jews, when they serve God, with great zeal, but not according to true knowledge. What does that mean? They serve by being blind. Today, we cannot just be zealous. You don't know what you're doing. So today, the enemy uses many circumstances. I do believe, brothers and sisters, can understand. In our daily life, it's very easy to touch such things. Many people are deceived. In these last days, this deception is particularly severe. So do be careful. Not so long ago, on Sunday, in a message, we talked about how Satan deceives us, particularly in the book of Revelation. God constantly calls him the deceiver. He's the one who deceives to the point. God has thrown the great deceiver, Satan, into the lake of fire. This is a great work of Satan to deceive. So many things he is deceiving us. This is the work of the enemy. Now, behind deceive is lies. Adam and Eve, from their fall, all of humankind has fallen beneath the lies of the enemy. So today, as a Christian, if you have some spiritual sense, you will know that the entire world is a great lie. Satan here is lying to us. As a Christian, after we are saved, God has saved us out of such an environment. Now, before the Lord, we need to be very watchful. Do not be blinded by the enemy, because anytime you're blinded by him, you are in bondage to him. So many Christians have no freedom. Every day they're circling around and around in things that have nothing to do with the Lord. And they offend God, and they cannot come out of such a circumstance. It is so regretful. So the first work of the enemy is to blind us. The second thing you can see from reading the Bible is that he will do the work of substitution with falsehood. Not only is it like this among the Gentiles, hypocrisy, but in the Bible, we see there are many examples. When the people of Israel came to Mount Sinai, Moses went up to Mount Sinai, and down below, the people made this golden calf to substitute for God. It was a thing that was false and hypocritical. And then the people down below would eat and drink and celebrate in front of the golden calf. When we see this, we think it's so foolish. But today, look at the condition of the church. So brothers and sisters, this idol is a false thing from the enemy, but all of humankind, all of people, those who are underneath this lie, far surpasses those who believe, right? So the things that are fake and false, we need to be very careful. This is the work of the enemy. Thirdly, he brings a misunderstanding. Because when you read his word, you are not accurate. You do not understand. When you go in that direction, you find that the old enemy from ancient days, when mankind first began, he used this particular work, this particular scheme, so that we would misunderstand and misrepresent God's word. After thousands of years of human history, all of the discrepancy in the children of God and discrepancy in spiritual understanding, it is because we misunderstand, we're not accurate. It's God's word. This is a great work of the enemy, a very severe scheme of the enemy. And so we see the discussion between Satan and Eve. It's filled with God's word, but when Eve heard God's word, she wasn't clear about it. It is perhaps Adam didn't say it very clearly to her. God has spoken very clearly to Adam that in your days you will die if you eat of it. But from Eve's mouth, she says that you might die. So when she heard these words, there were some problems there. And so Satan immediately came in and says, not necessarily, maybe not. When you eat of it, your eyes will be brightened. And yes, indeed, her fleshly eyes were opened. And then sin and all these things entered in. So this is such a grave warning for us. When you read God's words, you need to be very accurate. When you hear his words, you also need to hear it clearly. You cannot twist his words. The fourth scheme of the enemy. He will, if he's not adding things to God's words, he will also take away. He's either adding or taking away. This is the condition of the church. Many things, the scripture does not even have it. We don't know where it was added in. Today, as Christians, we are so zealous about certain things. In the past, I had a great doubt. There's this Santa Claus and this aspect of Christmas. What does Santa Claus have to do with our Lord Jesus? But everybody accepts this. And then this Christmas tree. What does the Christmas tree have to do with our Lord Jesus? And in the Brethren movement, so the brothers at the Brethren movement, they realized that this was a deceit. This has nothing to do with our Lord. But today, it is so prevalent and received and accepted by Christians. This is such a tragic situation. So the enemy would take many things that are unnecessary and add it in. And the things that are necessary, he will cut it out. And so, the life of a Christian cannot match the standard of God because many things have been taken away. So I remember some brothers and sisters, they have borne testimony. They said, these were some Christians who had some sense and feeling. They said, today, my spiritual life, it doesn't qualify. Do you feel that your Christian life qualifies? You have a feeling about it. That's pretty good. That means you do not meet God's requirement. So in God's words, there are many things. Oftentimes, we take the secondary and use that as the best. And then the low quality things, we use it to substitute the high quality. We have taken the base things to substitute for God's things that are high and valuable and of quality. Today, this is not only in the world, but is also among Christians. It is very prevalent among Christians. We need to be very careful about the schemes, the work of the enemy. In the first century, Paul tells us, it's not that we do not know the schemes of the enemy. This is a very important matter. And so that is why Satan, the enemy, hates him. Today, of course, for those who truly know the enemy and want to walk God's way, their lives are difficult. Now, from scripture, these are four important schemes and works of the enemy that I do want to first list out and have fellowship with you. Now, in the book of Colossians, let's see some of the works of the enemy that he uses to destroy the work of God. Now, please pay attention. That there are also four things. In these four things, from the very first century all the way until today, have not stopped. In principle, they have not stopped. So we thank the Lord. Paul is one who truly knows God and knows the enemy. And so he was able to write this in the book of Colossians. Now first, Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. Sorry, verse 8 and 9. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than of Christ. For in him, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. So, brothers and sisters, here there are several things. We see that there is philosophy, empty deception, tradition of men, elementary principles of the world. These are four things. We can summarize them as the human reasonings, from the natural wisdom of man that comes from the mind of man. These are the things that come out of the mind of man. Those who study science, when they talk about human history, there are some great changes. And so, brothers and sisters, we know that man has his own wisdom. Man's wisdom is very easy for it to enter into the spiritual realm. For brothers and sisters who are among here, perhaps those of you who have received higher level education here, your mind has been opened up so that you have reasoning. You are able to use your thoughts. Yes, when you are a student, you need to use your thoughts. When you are working, you need to use your mind. But forgive me, but when it comes to spiritual things, you cannot use your human reasonings. Your natural human mind can bring in great harm to God's work. And so from the very first century, all of these heresies came out of man's intelligence. Have you heard there was this heresy? It's called Gnosticism. Gnosticism, this word Gnostic comes from the original Greek. It means Gnostic. What does that mean? It means knowledge. They felt that they had knowledge. And so with using human knowledge, they looked at God's matters, the Lord's matters. So it changed even his human status, human position. This Gnosticism influenced many of the saints at that time. We are also clear that because of Gnosticism, it spurred on John to write the Gospel of John. At that time, there was already three Gospels that talked about the life of Christ. But why is there the Gospel according to John? Because John was in direct relation to deal with Gnosticism, to talk about how our Lord Jesus is the Son of God. So brothers and sisters, the influence of this was very great to today. Now when we come to this new development of human seminary thought, you perhaps have heard it. Some brothers have also told me that in America, all of the seminary schools, all of those that are name schools, have all been taken over by this new group of seminaries, because this is the schools that bring out ministers, this new This new group has a great influence. That means every spiritual matter has to go through man's understanding, man's mind, man's logic. And once it goes through man's mind and logic, then it can be accepted. So this is a new thought, seminary thought. So Paul tells us here that their philosophy, their empty deception, their tradition, their elementary principles, they go according to that rather than according to Christ. This is from the negative aspect, that it is very easy for us to not go according to Christ. It's so easy for us to follow things that are not according to Christ, particularly young brothers and sisters. Please be very careful and watchful, cautious about this. The things that come from human teaching, you cannot look lightly upon it. When I was young, I liked to read some philosophical books because I greatly admired it, because their minds were much greater than us. Their analytical abilities, their reasonings and explanations were much more reasonable than us, than me. So I greatly admired them. But brothers and sisters, be very careful. In church history, we know that there are many people, they have followed this. And so in the Catholic Church, we have their teachers, the Catholic teachers. There are many people who serve God. They are like the same. They're very smart. They have great minds. Yes, it seems as if they're able to persuade many people. We need his mercy. Now for the Jews, at the very end, the reason why they changed the service and ministry of God into Judaism, why? It's because among the Jews, their priests, their scribes, their Levites, their Pharisees and Sadducees, these people, they use their human mind to explain God's word and the result of it. And so that is why the Lord said, they have taken it into the philosophy and tradition of men. So you teach them into something that is completely emptiness and vanity. Satan will use this to destroy and break down the mystery of God. It's a very big scheme and tool. So all these things of human reasoning, is we need to be very careful about this. Now, when you share the gospel, when you use some examples, there's no problem with that. But what I'm pointing at here is anything, when it comes to the knowledge of Christ, if you walk in this way, then be careful. Paul is a very intelligent man. Paul in Colossians chapter 2 particularly speaks about this matter. It tells us today that when we are saved by grace, all that we have received in the new life of Christ, there is a different mysterious wisdom. This wisdom is for us to understand the mystery of God, that we can come to understand his eternal purpose. So today, we need to hold fast that you need to follow the leading, the teaching of the anointing, to open up to us the wisdom to understand God's mystery. That is revelation. That is true knowledge. Otherwise, when you read scripture and you use your own mind, it is a very terrible thing. No wonder when we were young, we had older brothers tell us. And at that time, I used a lot of biblical commentaries to read. And then brothers blocked me from using this and says, no, don't follow all those commentaries. Today, I am grateful. I'm so thankful. The Holy Spirit forever is our good and best teacher, as long as you are willing to be taught by him. So that is why today we follow and obey the teaching of the anointing. It's so important because the teaching of the anointing, Paul tells us that he uses the word teaching because it is a teaching. It's an education. We are being educated in the hands of the Holy Spirit. He wants to open up to us the mysterious wisdom of his revelation so that you may have true knowledge. For this, brothers and sisters, I am so thankful to our Lord, because in my natural mind, I'm not that great. even though I'm not bad, but I'm not that great either, I cannot be compared with many brothers here who have studied very well. But I thank the Lord. The Lord has given me a different kind of wisdom so that I can understand God's word. And so here I can, according to God's word, serve God. According to his word, I can preach. This is very important. We know that this is God's, or this is the enemy's obstacle in blocking Christ. This is a very terrible scheme from the very first century all the way until today. And we feel that it is becoming more and more severe. This is Satan's work in developing man's soul, because in man's soul, he has wisdom. He is developing man's soul. So sometimes before the Lord, I do have the sigh that even until today, in this age that we live in now, man's soul has reached such a condition, such a pinnacle, that according to human education, this is a result of human education, man's soul has been developed and expanded in such a way that the church now has been deeply impacted. But God's word reminds us that if you want to understand the mystery of God, you need to be very watchful against the work of the enemy. So now let's move on from this point, the second point. Now let's look at Colossians 2, verse 16 and 17. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. So, brothers and sisters, this speaks of how today, in the church, man pays close attention to the outward traditions and festivals. Now, every church, they have their different formats. Some pay a lot of attention to these religious traditions. Now, in the past, I shared with you that there was this brother. He came out of the Eastern Orthodox Church. And he came one day to tell me, "Brother Son, I want to get married." At that time, he was gathering with us. He often sought us out for fellowship. He gave me a small prayer book, a pamphlet. It was a prayer book. So this was a priest prayer book. I opened it. There were even hand motions and gestures that he had to use. And I thought, isn't this they had to use lots of hand gestures. I was very amazed at it. And one day he says, "Brother Son, I want to get married. Please come to my wedding." I said, "Okay." So that day, with great joy, I went to his wedding, and it really opened my eyes. In the Eastern Orthodox, the meeting place was very small. There was only 10 to 20 yards, and that priest who arranged that wedding, thank the Lord, because I didn't have to serve God in such a way. He had to speak, he had to sing. From the entrance to the inside, it took more than 1 hour. And there's no place to sit. Everyone had to stand. I stood until I was so sore. Everyone had to stand. And at a certain point, everybody had to demonstrate. When he said a phrase, every Christian had to demonstrate and say, "God have mercy," with your hands folded on your face. Oh, goodness. That day. Of course, I'm not laughing or mocking them, but in my heart, I felt sadness that children of God, that we had become like this. But among them, everybody felt that this was right. You can feel that the atmosphere there was death upon death. There was no sense of life. It caused us to feel great sorrow. They were in bondage by such formality for thousands of years. So we know, brothers and sisters, this is such a terrible work of the enemy, so that man pays attention to tradition. When you come into the Catholic Church, it's even more so. The traditions are severe. In Europe, there are many state churches. They also pay attention to that, to such a point where some Christians, they also pay great attention to these traditions. These are all the works of man, the very set form of man. Brothers and sisters among us, do we have any sense that when a teaching comes, that even the accent of your prayers is the same, that your format of your prayers is the same? Brothers and sisters, today we know that if apart from the mystery of God, these things become a great bondage. So we thank the Lord. After the Brethren movement, it has given us great freedom. We come back to simplicity, back to scripture, and very simply, we can go back to it, but we still need to be very careful. Because of these traditions, it is built upon the traditions of death and the habits of death. We have said before that in our church habits, when we build up our church habits, we have mentioned again, you cannot be in bondage to the habits of death. These things, greatly influence and impact man. So today, as we follow the Lord, we need to know and hold fast that our God is a living God. That everything God wants is living. God does not want that which is dead. If everything you have is proper and right, some churches, they have the set program. You cannot change it at all, because if you break the program, it's terrible. They will strive against you, brothers and sisters. What God wants is that which is living. We are the children of God. We are members of his household. We follow the sense of life. This is a living condition. You cannot use tradition to make everything dead. Brothers and sisters, in the Old Testament time, we need to understand that God did give the children of God, it looked as if it was a set form, like when you come into the tabernacle, when you go into the Holy of Holies, there were set things, right? But we know that Paul tells us that was a mere shadow of what is to come. He was using these outward things to illustrate to us, to explain to us. In the New Testament now, all of those things are past. Brothers and sisters, in our service, are we following the shadow or are we following after the substance? Today, we talk about spiritual reality, right? Do you want the reality or do you want the outward formality? Today, we see that the children of God who are in bondage to the outward formality, there are tens of thousands of them. There is a brother, it's very interesting. He says that at that time in China, later on, after they were opened up, they had some meetings. And at first, because when they were young, they did not understand how the brothers in the past had led. And so they had this set form that everybody, when taking the bread and the cup, have to lay down on the floor. And so after they laid on the floor, everybody got used to it and laying down on the floor for many, many years. And then they realized the Bible never taught that. They had to sit up. Oh, they had such a disagreement over sitting up because they could not be changed. Why? Because they were used to laying down on the floor. Now we know that habits really control a person. Satan knows this. And so he greatly uses these things. in all of religion, it's also the same. There's these traditions. And so Catholics are like that. Even Christians, Christianity cannot avoid it either. Brothers and sisters, we need to imitate how Christ has already set us free. Do not be enslaved anymore. Paul came out of that. He deeply understood. And so he left it very cleanly. He was set free from it. Now, of course, when I say this, I know it is according to the Lord's mercy. Now, Paul almost failed. One time when he went to Jerusalem, he almost failed himself. He went back into the formalities and the tradition. If it were not for God extending his hand, otherwise he would have failed. Previously, he rebuked Peter in such a strong way. Sometimes I think about what he said. He says, "How can you rebuild that which we have torn down in the past? This is not right." Paul, when he was young, he was very strong. His attitude was so strong, without realizing that one day, underneath the great pressure of Judaism, almost failed. But later, God reminded him. Therefore, we realize this formless thing, Satan, in our pursuit and service, in our gatherings, Satan uses these things to control man. How we need the Lord to have mercy on us. Now today, what we pursue after is spiritual reality. We need to pursue after the substance, that is Christ himself. Hebrews also tells us this. May the Lord show us mercy. Now the third aspect. Let's take a look. Colossians 2, verse 20 to 23. Oh, sorry. Let's first look at verse 18 and 19. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of the angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. Now, brothers and sisters, here, what is it talking about? In religion, there are these things that are mystical, mysticism, the worship of angels. Now, have you seen angels? I have not. I know in the past, there was a servant of God. He was at a youth conference, and he asked the young brothers and sisters, "Have you seen an angel?" And everybody dared not say anything. No one had seen an angel. He says, "Oh, none of you have seen angels?" That means he often sees angels. And I thought, okay, so what good is it that you see angels often? Hebrews, haven't you read it carefully? Angels are messengers. I want to just remind you, if you have read the book of Hebrews, you know. God have also said that you have these messengers who often meet the face of your Father. Of course, you cannot see him, but he knows you. This is a very important reminder. Now, angels is a servant. They are servants who all day long elevates the servant at their home, that you pay attention to the servant. They are spirits who help. From the Old Testament on, the Israelites have had this great mystical sense towards angels. They know that there are cherubims and seraphims. Some people have been attracted by this. They worship these things. And so these things also represent that in religion, there is this mysticism. And of course, you have this in other religions in the world as well, in heretical things. We know that there's Eastern mysticism. They have this. And even among the Chinese, there's also this thing, this religion of worshiping ancestors and the spirits of the ancestors. When I was young, I was born in mainland China, as I know. In those villages, anytime you see those mystical, spiritual things, there are so many of those things, brothers and sisters. This is also a great scheme of the enemy. But we know that when we come into the church, among the children of God, are there these mystical things as well? Yes, there are some Christians who like to pursue after these things. They use these spiritual and miraculous experiences to talk about these things. When you hear it, then yes, you are in great reverence and fear. You find it so amazing. But brothers and sisters, of course, we know that in this physical world, there is a spiritual world. There's no question about it. But may the Lord not give us a curiosity towards these things, no interest toward these things. Let us follow Christ well, because the mystery of God is Christ. Now, the mystery is not a mystical thing. The mystery is so that we can understand spiritual things. Spiritual things or mystical things will allow you to not be able to speak it clearly. Spiritism cannot allow you to use your mind to understand. And so today, what we want is the mystery of God, not the mystical things. So from the very early church all the way until today, for the sake of time, let's move on. Let's take a look at verse 21 to 23. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourselves to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with use, in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men? These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. Here speaks of man's own work. And many religions today, in order to be qualified or to do their work, they try to control their own lusts and desires. So they submit themselves to not touch, eat, taste, better to not even get married, because lusts and passions have become, in their mind, a corrupted thing. And so, brothers and sisters, we know that in these aspects, man has committed such huge mistakes. Have you seen in the Catholic Church today some of the terrible things? 3,000 some fathers have committed sexual immorality. So many children have been harmed. Brothers and sisters, are you able to really restrain yourself? Brothers and sisters, Christians, of course, you cannot follow your fleshly lust to live. But we know that if you want to use your own strength to restrain yourself, you cannot do it. So do not try and do not teach others to do it. Many people do teach this, to restrain, use your own will to say, no, do not touch, do not touch, do not do this, do not eat that. When I was young, I was taught in such a way, and it was so full of suffering. There was no joy whatsoever. On the pulpit, they say, Christians, you cannot watch movies. You cannot watch TV to such a point where you cannot read the newspaper. You cannot read Reader's Digest. And I thought, oh, as such a Christian, is such a suffering to be a Christian. Is there any joy as a Christian? Brothers and sisters, now, of course, you try to do all that. Of course, there's not much benefit to it, but now, according to the leading of the Holy Spirit, the Lord did not tell us to live lives of great suffering. So here, I do want to remind brothers and sisters, If you know the co-death with Christ, it is entirely different from the restraining of the physical body. Now the things of the world cannot touch you. Now you can live with great, in a very natural way. Now the enemy will use these religious things to try to control the children of God, the people of God. Now in the early church, at Colossae, at the church there, already these things were occurring. But what is amazing and surprising is that these four things continues on in church history until today. So the work of the enemy, Paul tells us, he is sharing, he is speaking the mystery. It's not just these outward things. Now, the mystery of God is Christ. Today, if you have touched Christ, you have touched the mystery of God. But when you preach Christ, it is not just these outward surface things. You need to touch the mystery of God. This is a great difference. I hope, brothers and sisters, you can understand my words. When a person understands the mystery of God, then his work, his preaching, all his actions, versus a person who does not understand the mystery of God, his work, his preaching, and his actions is entirely different. So Paul, he preaches and shares the mystery of God. When you say, Paul, tell us how we are to have a marital experience, he says, I speak of the mystery. It's not just outwardly, I admonish you to be at peace. No, brothers and sisters, we hope that in these matters, the Lord will help us to understand. Now in chapter 2, there's three things that you are very clear when you read it. First, to live out God's mystery and to enter into God's mystery, there are three very basic things. In verse 6, it's very short, it's small. It says, so walk in him. So walk in him. Today, we walk in him. Only the Lord is our way. All that is not in Christ, apart from him, no need to follow. When we walk, I said before, our walk, our behavior, how we act, how we live, every aspect, our walk is according to Christ. How he tells us is how we do. For the sake of time, brothers and sisters, you are very familiar with this. I just wanted to mention. The second thing is according to Christ. Everything is according to Christ. The work of the enemy is that you are not according to Christ. Today, if before the Lord, you live and you walk according to the mystery of Christ, according to his will, then you must be according to Christ. Just like Moses on Mount Sinai, and he did according to the pattern on the mount. So in all of God's household, he was faithful, entirely faithful in building the tabernacle today. Yes, we can have our weakness, but in all matters, we need to be according to Christ. Or in another illustration, Paul, in the book of Philippians, he says, whether to live or to die, as long as Christ is expressed and manifested through me. In every aspect, I express Christ. I don't care about you or anything else. I express and live out Christ. And thirdly, the third point. You hold fast. In the original is that you did not hold fast. Forever, we need him to be head. The enemy always tells us no, but today, before the Lord, we hold fast to the head. In all things, we listen to him. He is the head. That is why we follow him. Whatever he says, we do. So in Colossians chapter 2, in all the schemes and works and the many tactics of the enemy, in all the matters of corruption and of outward traditions and of natural man, Paul has also shown us three very simple words to remind us. Walk in him, go according to Christ, and hold fast to the head. So brothers and sisters, now Paul is one who preached the mystery, but he also knew that all the work of the enemy is in blocking the mystery of God. Anytime the mystery of God is blocked, then the Christian life will become very, very pointless. Anytime there's blocked, anytime God's mystery is blocked, then our church life also becomes very earthly. And so in Colossians tells us a very important book of the mystery of God. If the Lord allows, next time, we'll talk about this mystery in church life, how it is expressed through church life. And so we hope, brothers and sisters, you can meditate on God's words. Now, I say again, I'm not here to interpret scripture, Colossians and Ephesians, but what we are paying attention to is that in these books, what is it that God wants us to know and understand? Okay, our time is exactly up, so let us stop here. And let's have just a little bit of time of prayer. And we'll give the time to all brothers and sisters. If within you there is any moving, do not quench the moving of the Spirit, so that before the Lord we will have an open heart. And let's pray together. And yes, of course, for the sake of time, we cannot have too many people. Perhaps just a few brothers and sisters lead us in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, may you gain us, so that we may truly know you. Open up our eyes so that we may know the schemes and tactics of the enemy. As children of God in these end days, may we come to have true knowledge of you, so that we would live in a way that pleases and honors you. May our eyes be fixed upon you yourself. Save us, so that at the very end, in the days before you return, that together we would pursue and walk upon your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, Lord, we truly thank you and praise you that you have given your word to us. May we not be just hearers of your word, but doers of your word. We pray that beneath the hand of the Holy Spirit, we would be taught. And when we have such a desire, do open up the eyes of our hearts so that we may understand your mystery. Thank you, Jesus. In your most precious name we pray. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you. In these end days, do give us an honest and urgent heart so that we would give ourselves entirely into your hand. Lord, we know that the enemy is using all the strength of his might to pull us down. So we place ourselves into your hand. Lord, do open us up. Do that work of revelation in us. Close our outward eyes so that our inward eyes may truly see you. Save us so that we may be set free to really serve you and know you. May our hearts not be grabbed a hold of by other things so that we would be in a very shallow position. Save us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord Jesus, we pray that your hand would continue to be upon us to lead us and teach us so that we would truly walk according to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would help us so that we would have a feeling towards you. Remind us so that we be faithful towards you and be more clear in following you and be attracted by the things of heaven, not by the vain things of this world. We look to your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Lord, we know that the road to victory is very difficult. So do give us an attitude of overcoming and victory in these few days, that we would hold fast to your will, no matter how the difficulty, how the environment and people and situations change. May we be faithful to the end. Among us, Lord, gain more useful vessels. We give you all the thanksgiving from the depths of our hearts. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, brothers and sisters. Our meeting will conclude here. Let me give you the time for our next gathering. Time passes so fast. We come into November now. It will be on the 27th, November 27th. So we ask brothers and sisters to save that time, and we will memorize Ephesians chapter 2. I'm not going to ask brothers and sisters in different locations because it's kind of difficult here online. So we're just going to ask brothers and sisters in Minneapolis to lead us in reciting, because our young brothers and sisters there are very adorable. So we're going to ask them to lead us in memorizing it. So saints in Minneapolis, please be prepared. If there's nothing else, then we will conclude our meeting here. May the Lord watch over and protect brothers and sisters. Goodbye, everyone.